You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Do you love the Tabernacle Choir? This year, the choir's music is everywhere you are. Listen to your favorite choir songs and music and the spoken word anytime you want on Alexa by simply enabling the skill.
Alexa, play the Tabernacle Choir.
Now playing the Tabernacle Choir.
You can also download the Tabernacle Choir app, subscribe to the choir on YouTube, listen on Spotify, and have access to all their wonderful music. Happy listening.
And now, it's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson. How's it going over there, Ben? How was your weekend?
Interesting, exciting, fun, not busy, kind of busy. How was yours? It was a little bit of everything.
Yeah, a lot of that. A lot of family. Can I tell you, though, like, I got drowned in hockey talk.
Okay.
Whenever the opportunity presented itself. Like soccer, when we're going to Sadie's soccer game, nothing but parents, mostly dads, I suppose, but parents buzzing about the team coming to town. Some random person, I was wearing the same hat that I'm wearing right now, Ben, my Whalers hat.
Yeah.
And hanging, watching the kids play on the playground. Some random couple comes by and he's like, oh! Hockey's coming to town. and then proceeded to chat with me about it for like 45 minutes. Like people honestly
are excited.
Anecdotally, people are stoked. We had other parents in the neighborhood over to, you know, bounce house it yesterday on a Sunday fun day, and like hockey talk buzzed about it coming. And I think it's cool. I think it's fun when the sports community has juice around here, cause we're really good at it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, I don't know. It was good. We did a bunch of stuff as a family, given the Jazz, I guess the first weekend with the Jazz off. So, we took advantage of it. It was nice. And the weather was incredible.
You probably felt like me. I mean, the Jazz played last Friday, which is crazy that was last Friday.
Because it feels like a month ago.
The entire Utah sports landscape has completely shifted in the last 7 days. It's unbelievable. But Jazz played Friday. Saturday, they did some end-of-season stuff. We got to go talk to some players. News was already coming out that hockey was going to come around. Sunday, they played their last game. Monday was the Danny Ainge press conference. It's just like, and then worked all week. You know, it hasn't really felt like we've had back-to-back days off in a very long time. And there's no days off, but back-to-back days of, like, you didn't have to go to the arena to cover a game.
No.
I didn't have to be at the arena or watching a game to cover it. And even then, Friday, there was the big press conference with Ryan and Gary Bettman and Ashley and everybody.
I came back from the store it was yesterday. And my wife had hockey on with my two daughters. Like, we got to get into this thing. It's coming to town. I was like, wow, that's awesome.
It's
all right.
I already feel it.
Yeah,
like,
good.
I am not going to casually turn on the Stanley Cup playoffs because I'm a huge basketball fan. I love the playoffs. I will watch bad NBA playoff games. Don't care. I will throw them on and I'll watch the whole thing. I'm like checking NHL scores on my ESPN app. Like I'm like, for all of a sudden it hit me. Like it is totally in my bloodstream already. And I would have never done that in the past. I never would have cared. I wouldn't have known who's playing. And it just that quickly, I picked it up. And I think a lot of fans are going to do that.
Well, let's start with this and we can get to other stuff, NBA playoffs, etc. Your guy, Damian Lillard, going crazy. We can get into that, but let's start out. You were at the press conference on Friday. You were down there covering for the station and KSL Sports. How was your camera work? Did you end up doing that?
I'm having an issue getting stuff uploaded to the OneDrive, but other than that.
But you're the brother of like a world famous cinematographer, so like I would imagine there's some pressure on you. Just from that sense, whenever you open up a camera.
Can I tell you, it's the most imposter syndrome I've felt in a very long time? Because you know Melissa, who's like the individual photographer at all the Jazz games, who takes some of the great photos. Yeah. And if you guys don't know, Gabby Stockard, who works for the Jazz, has taken some unbelievable photos recently in the last couple of years. She's kind of the primary team photographer. And Haley over there is a really good photographer. They just have a lot of really talented people. The Jazz randomly have a bunch of really talented photographers. And they're all these really smart women. And I just was like, how do I get the lens cap off? So I felt like a major imposter playing with this camera that I had never used before.
How'd it go?
You know what? Cameras make it pretty easy now. They're pretty foolproof.
Turn it on?
Just point and click. And you take 50 at a time, you're going to get a couple of good photos.
All right.
And I mean, they're standing at a, or sitting at a podium. Like, you know, they're sitting at a desk. It's not that hard to get good photos.
Well, you don't want to get Gary Bettman like picking his nose or something.
No, but I did realize like, oh, it's hard to get all three of these people smiling at the same time.
Not
or
looking like one of them looking goofy.
Gary's not drinking water or one of them's not blinking. I'm like, oh, there's a lot actually that goes into this and framing and all kinds of stuff.
Real quick before you reset it, what we learned on Friday. How about Gary Bettman's day? Where he had to be at that press conference with that, the Moreno guy and
if
then
you
had to
ask
fly
me,
up to Salt Lake. How about that for a day?
If you want to ask me what my take is, that was my takeaway. Was, oh man, he had to Friday morning go sit with Alex Morello, who is unquestionably one of the biggest bozos in all of professional sports, is never going to get that team back down there. I hope the Coyotes return to Arizona. I hope Alex Morello has nothing to do with it. But to do that and then go up to Ryan Smith and Ashley Smith, who are probably everything you want in a young sports owner if you're a commissioner.
Well, seem to be pretty rock solid, yeah.
They have the money. They have the arena. They don't have two arenas. I know that ruffled some feathers for a lot of people. They wanted the team. They did everything they could to get the team. They fought for the team. Ryan has been down there. Ashley's been down there. They met with the players. They met with the coach. They met with the GM. Like, everything you could ever imagine wanting. You have a backup plan for the arena. You have a third backup plan for the arena. Like, you have all these different options that it's going to work out. And then behind it, you have a huge investor, Arctos, that put a bunch of money into owning the Boston Red Sox and the Pittsburgh... One of the Pittsburgh teams. I can't remember which major league team. It's like, it's a dream situation for Gary Bettman. To go and sit on a stage with Alex Morello, who's railing against the media in his press conference of losing the team because he never got an arena knockdown or lockdown, to going to 22,000 season tickets already sold for a 14,000-seat building next to Ryan and Ashley Smith must be heavenly. For Gary Bettman. That was my takeaway.
I would think so. I mean, they're looking for stability. And hockey's still in the phase where they can't scrutinize their owners like other leagues can. And sometimes it ends up well and sometimes it doesn't. Excuse me. I mean, look back. We talked about this with the 80s NBA where the league basically at the same time sold two franchises in LA to two real estate developers. And, I mean, they – were desperate to do it.
Yeah.
The league was not on solid footing. I mean, they needed people to invest and buy these franchises. And so they probably picked two pretty risky owners to buy these things. And one turned out to be a home run, and one turned out to really be a failure, but not only the worst kind of failure, where it was like it was bad the whole way.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
And you know what? That is what Arizona was. Not in the same way.
But that's my point, is that the NHL, when they get somebody who's solid and has the financing and has the wherewithal and believes in the community that they're in and all the things come into focus, well, the NHL is going to jump at that.
Yeah. Alex Morello was currently the biggest problem in the NHL.
Well, when he bought the Coyotes, I'm sure he wasn't their ideal candidate, but he's the one who said, oh, we're going to keep it here and we want to keep it here and this and that. And they said, okay, well— I don't know if we love you, but okay, we'll jump on board because we need it.
Or, you're a suitor. Or, you're a suitor.
Right, exactly. Whereas, you know, Ryan's even proven in the NBA so far to be an extremely stable owner.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. So there's already a proof of concept there. I mean, it's ideal. I don't know if officially the NHL, Ben, did I miss this in the press conference? I don't know if they asked Ryan to do this, but this is definitely like a lifeboat type of situation for the NHL. I mean, he's coming in on good footing with the league because he's doing them a solid here.
There have been some things that have come out of Ryan Smith jumping on a grenade for the NHL, including sexual harassment stuff that was going on with ownership.
I hadn't seen
that. That was like the worst sexual harassment story they've had. And I think it was coming out of Arizona, but it wasn't Morello. So I want to be careful. It was not Morello. But I want to say it was like another owner in the area or a part owner. And honestly, I should know better. We can look it up quickly. But like from a PR campaign, Ryan Smith jumped on an enormous grenade for the NHL. And they are going to be very happy that he's a part of it. And then I thought the press conference was good, ultimately. If you haven't listened to it, we've got it up at kslsports.com. I know there's also a YouTube stream of it, but you can find it on our website. I thought it was interesting. I think there was a lot of consternation about the arena. But, yeah, they were very happy to have Ryan Smith up there. And he and Gary Bettman's a pretty straight shooter. You know, he used to be the lieutenant commissioner of the NBA under David Stern, who was also kind of a straight shooter, you know, but knows how to do this stuff as far as the 80s and 90s tough guy commissioner, more so than like Adam Silver. That's more where Gary Bettman comes from. Now, he's a little more human maybe than Adam, who's pretty buttoned up at times, but you know, and so they exchanged some barbs, even Ryan Smith and Gary Bettman did on Friday, but it seems like a happy relationship.
Yeah, yikes. This does not look good, by the way.
Can you give us
the sexual assault thing? Well, here's the headline. New evidence emerged from a 2018 sexual assault case involving Canada hockey players prompting arrest charges, police say.
Yeah, so there was just like a lot of bad stuff going on.
And our guy, Elliot Friedman, didn't he refer to this on Friday?
Yes,
or
he did.
It was either he or one of the guests we had on the station. So, yeah, I know, but Phoenix has nothing to do with it.
My apologies.
Or the Coyotes.
Nothing to do with it.
No, nothing to do with it. So let's not take it there. But anyway, yeah, I think put this thing back on the tracks. Ryan Smith is doing the NHL a favor by doing this and providing stability to a franchise that had no stability, obviously. And that's a big deal. And now, honestly, he can either stick an expansion franchise back in Arizona or he can pick another market. And we'll see.
He's been a big fan. Gary Bettman has been a big fan of Arizona. He's wanted to make it work there. I don't think he wants to make it work with Alex Morello, Kansas City. I mean, here's the thing, and I'm not going to try and hammer people today. We've got to stop worrying, though, about the second arena or what the team name is going
to
be.
Okay, so explain to me the controversy here. Are people just disappointed or what is...
I think when people thought that, okay, they're raising $900 million or whatever this is with this 0.5% sales tax increase, it's probably going to pass. I mean, it seems like it's going to pass. I mean, the governor and the mayor were both at the...
It passed tense, right?
I think it's approved. I think there are still ways they got to work through spending. But regardless, we should get Lindsay Ertz from the KSL News side on to talk about it. He's been on with Hans and Scotty, if you haven't listened to it. I think a lot of people assumed that was going to build you a new building. Well, in all honesty, $900 million is not going to get you a building anymore. Now, there is other money coming in. Ryan's going to have his own money. But to get this to stay in downtown Salt Lake City, and this is what Ryan said on Friday, he said there's just not a square block they can buy and bulldoze. Now, maybe you could go to Pike Place, Kitty Corner to... where the Delta Center is right now, that big parking lot. Park Place.
This isn't Seattle.
Pike Place is in Seattle. Don't go there. That's really expensive. Park Place, which is just the parking lot, Kitty Corner, and right across from where we are right now. Maybe you could try and do it there, but like I don't even know how big that is compared to what the other land and other options are. And they just decided, you know what, $700 million, $900 million, whatever it costs to totally renovate and redo Delta Center is the best way to keep both teams in downtown Salt Lake City versus building a stadium in Bluffdale, which is what Ryan said was his original plan and said he wanted to do. And then everyone came up to him and said, no, it's got to be in Salt Lake. And Ryan probably realized, hey, I don't have to spend all my own money to get it done in Bluffdale. But you know what? Maybe they would have passed the sales tax increase out there or whatever they needed to get it built.
So, Sandy did.
Huh?
Sandy
Yeah, Sandy did. Right. Maybe they would have. Absolutely, maybe they would have. But the governor, the mayor, the county mayor, the city mayor both spoke. Governor spoke, said it's got to be in Salt Lake. Has to be. This is the city center. It's where it has to be. It's where the Jazz have to stay. Because if the hockey team goes to Bluffdale, the Jazz go to Bluffdale.
Yeah, right.
So they've got to be here. The only way to do it reasonably is with a stadium in Salt Lake. Now, are we going to get another stadium in Bluffdale in 30 years, 20 years? Probably. That would be my guess. But if you get 20 years out of this, it's probably a good deal.
Yeah, I don't see why. Like, no, I don't see why people would be complaining all that much. I mean, if you saw the difference the last renovation made, it was like a whole new building.
Yeah, whole new building. And then
and if you're going even more extreme because they're going to have to fix a bunch of stuff, like really major stuff. Like sight lines and all this, like really major things. Well, I mean, it's basically going to be a new arena. I don't understand why people had an issue with that.
Blow the walls out behind the goals, the hockey goals or the basketball standards. Like they're going to blow those whole walls out.
Yeah, they're going to have to
make it really steep so you can actually see down into it, and it'll probably be a lot more shallow at the bottom, I would think, on the lower bowl, but I'm not sure. But they're going to make those areas behind the baskets really steep, and you're going to be able to see everything from there, and it's going to get up to, Ryan said, 17 to 17.5 for seating. I've heard 19,000 for basketball. He didn't mention that number on Friday. He didn't say basketball seating. That's what I've heard for basketball is 19,000. But yeah, they're gonna have to blow half the building off.
But I don't know if this reassures anybody. But coming from somebody who has worked in that building for a very long time, and during the last renovation, you know, something that I believe it was Gail herself, but said that Larry had said was that the building has good bones.
Yeah,
and that was part of his thing building it. Like I don't want to have to do this over and over again. I'm going to do it right. I'm going to do it to last, all those things. And I'll tell you, I believe that.
Absolutely.
I mean, as somebody who's honestly been in that building for a really long time, this isn't the Oakland, what's the Oakland Coliseum, like where they have to knock it down and start from scratch.
Right.
They have to
it's
do
not
it.
Not flooding. It's like, not a rat infestation.
Right. You remember when what dome was it in Seattle where the roof fell in one day, or the one in Minnesota where they got the snow. Do you remember that famous video where the snow is just pouring? Like that building's not there.
No, it's sound. It is very sound.
Right.
I don't love the cement aesthetic personally, but
the point is cement lasts forever.
It lasts forever. Right. Exactly. Forever. It's a blank slate.
Right.
And it allows you to do a lot to it, and it allows you to not need a new arena every 15 years. And it's going to keep, most importantly, than anything, more than the name, more than a second arena, it keeps the teams in Salt Lake. Now, I'm sure we have Provo listeners. I'm sure we have Ogden listeners that say, like, yeah, bring it closer to us. Either way, the truth is we're in the middle of the valley. We're in the middle of the Wasatch Front. Ogden's 40 minutes away. Provo's 40 minutes away. It makes a ton of sense. And they're going to be here. And it's a second major league franchise coming to Salt Lake City. And that is ultimately what's important, and I'm glad it's getting done.
And I love downtown Salt Lake. And I'm not, you know what, I really love downtown Ogden. Downtown Provo has its charms.
Sure, no, absolutely.
But I love downtown Salt Lake. It's where it should be, I think. And if they're going to invest in some of this specific neighborhood, that's probably a good thing too.
Now look, I think Ryan wants to blow a hole in First South and open up City Creek as a straight shot to the Delta Center. And where the front door of the Delta Center is going to be, I don't think it's going to be where the Jazz Node is right now. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think the whole idea is to change. And you've seen the renderings that Ryan tweeted out. We've got it again at kslsports.com. He wants to have a main street, basically, that pours out of all these different areas. Bravenel Hall, City Creek, whatever. Restaurants that pour into the Delta Center. Or vice versa, Delta Center pours into. If you're leaving the game after. And I think that's how he wants to revitalize Salt Lake City and give young people, really his players, but young people a new area to hang out in Salt Lake City that doesn't currently exist. I think that's his goal. I think that's what he wants. And again, Ryan gets things done. I mean, I was reading back on the article of Arctos jumping into this Jazz ownership group. August 16th, 2022. It's less than 2 years later and he got the team. The whole idea was we're going to get another team. Everyone was like, okay, pie in the sky. Why was this some embargoed story that we couldn't talk about? There's always been, everyone's always talked about bringing a second team to Salt Lake. Whatever. He did it. So I would suspect that he will find a way to blow a hole in the convention center and get a straight shot from City Creek right down to right down to Delta Center.
But he's not building a whole new building, Ben.
He's not building a brand new. Look, an arena would have been cool. It would have been fun. It probably would have been double the taxes that we're talking about right now, if you could even find it. So, and it might have been 4 or 5 years out. It's going to be 2 seasons from the beginning of next year. Beginning of this coming season.
I do love the "how dare you spend too much money," followed by the "how dare you not spend enough money."
well, okay, so that, and that's the other part of it. Like, Ryan's not going to win. He won because he got the team, and Gary Bettman was sitting here on Friday at Delta Center congratulating he and Ashley for buying a new team. That was the only victory that matters. People are going to hate the name. People are going to hate the color. People are going to hate the arena. People are going to hate the Jazz. People are going to hate Ryan. I think he's okay with all of that.
Well, then
and
you got
to
move on with your life. Yeah.
Yeah. To be the face of a city one way or another, whether it's government, whether it's industry, you're going to have people who are critical of you. And he's done a good job of not bowing to that criticism.
Larry Miller was really good at it.
He was. And he took a ton of criticism.
Yeah.
I think we forget that when somebody's been gone as long as Larry's been gone. And Gail was very quiet compared to Larry. And even more quiet than Ryan is, certainly, that she didn't get much criticism. And she was just kind of in the honeymoon period of owning the Utah Jazz. But yeah, Larry got a ton of criticism. So does Ryan. And I guess you just got to take it.
I thought the kids got a lot of criticism.
Absolutely they did.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of your thing.
It's just part of the business.
If you're going to own a sports team.
And that's not to say they do everything right. They don't.
No.
Ryan hasn't done everything right. But he's got an NHL team coming starting next year. I'm excited about it. It was a cool press conference to be at on Friday night. So,
and I do think it's good for our community.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
It's enormously important.
Yeah, big time. All right, stay tuned. We'll have top three stories of the day at KSLSports.com. Coming up next, Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is the top three stories of the day on KSLSports.com. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
So glad we're doing Fleetwood Mac today. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We want to remind you about the Hercules Hero of the Week. Nominate the youth sports volunteer you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contests and listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union. Time for the top three stories of the day at KSLSports.com. Sarah, where do you want to start today?
Number one, the NBA playoffs continue tonight.
Good games over the weekend. A couple. No home team lost. So the playoffs haven't started yet, as a lot of people like to say. I don't know what the most surprising outcome was. Thunder struggled pretty badly last night. But, I mean, Dame had 33 in the first half and then didn't score in the second half, which I'm sure has never happened before in a playoff game, but... he came out like gangbusters and looked very impressive as the Pacers were scared to be out there.
Haven't really been there before?
Haven't been there before. Not a lot of playoff experience outside of Pascal Siakam.
A bunch of teams in that category. Hilarious to watch D'Angelo Russell shoot the Lakers right out of a game.
And he'd been playing great over the second half of the season, and everyone was like, wow, this is the guy. And then just was awful. 1 of 9 from three, right?
Taking like in obscene shots at ridiculous times, too.
Very
like,
poorly timed.
Let D'Angelo cook.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to show signs that Darvin Ham probably doesn't know what he's doing, it's that sort of thing.
And doesn't know how to stop it. You know, doesn't know how to get the guys to buy in and be like,
hey,
well,
D'Angelo, sit down.
It's the playoffs now. We got to play the right way.
You're on LeBron's team. Anthony Davis, what are you doing?
One of my overarching takeaways that probably applies to the Jazz and is a terrible overreaction after one game, which is, oh yeah, you know what? Actually, like taking your lumps in the playoffs matters. And Jazz might be good and put it together at some point in the next couple of years. And then you're like, oh, this team's finally got it. They could still lose in 5 games in the first round because
easily.
You got to learn how to do it. So don't overinvest on just like all of a sudden building up and making it a one-year run. Like, I know the Jazz want to win playoff series, and that's when they want to invest in the team. Like, sometimes that just takes a while.
Predictably, Cleveland and Orlando is going to be ugly.
Ugly.
It's going to be
Orlando
ugly.
Actually was better than the final score indicates. They have no answer for Donovan Mitchell, even though their defenders were out there, and they're a really good defensive team. And their biggest problem is they just can't match Donovan's scoring. It's not that they can't stop him. It's just that they need a guard that can go out and get 20, 25 of their own, and they don't have that player.
No. They scored 15 points in the second quarter and 17 points in the third, and if you go on a stretch like that, you're going to lose the game.
Two most disappointing teams, I thought, over the weekend were the two teams that were getting all this hype about how much better they were playing going into the playoffs. Dallas Mavericks, who, look up that box score, I believe they scored 8 points in the third quarter. Not Luka scored eight.
Second quarter.
8 points in the second quarter from the Dallas Mavericks. Not Luka, not Kyrie, the team.
Yeah.
Well, they were atrocious in the first half, and that was a Clippers team that was playing without Kawhi Leonard. And then the Suns, who, like, it ended up being a 25-point loss. It wasn't 25 points the whole game, but it was never close. It was never close, and there was all this talk about, well, the Suns can hit mid-range shots, and Rudy can't defend the mid-range. It was like, well, Quinn didn't let him defend the mid-range, but Rudy can do all these things that Quinn didn't ask the Jazz defense to do, and that's not saying Quinn wasn't doing some things right, but he was also doing some things wrong.
It wasn't the game plan.
It wasn't the game plan. And the Suns looked old again. Devin Booker was atrocious. And Anthony Edwards was awesome. Yeah.
Well, they are old.
They are. They're old. And they're bad. They've been bad all year.
Can I tell you what, though? I liked Kevin Durant's response to Anthony Edwards kind of being excited and
yelling in his face,
letting it fly, where he smiled when it was happening. And then after the game, he's like, yeah, it's just, he had a big shot.
Yeah. You know?
Good for him.
Yeah.
I love that.
I have grown to really enjoy Kevin Durant.
Well, he's a maniac, but I like that. Well, not a maniac. That's too harsh. he's got rabbit ears so badly. It's a crazy thing to watch. So maniac's not it, but I don't know why somebody would subject themselves to that and like thrive off of it. And I guess Rudy does that too. There are people out there that do it like that just.
But Rudy's whole thing is having a chip on his shoulder. Kevin Durant is, don't you know who I am? I'm Kevin Durant. Like, yeah, why is he? He is so interactive on Twitter and answering criticism, and he does it more than any star player, and it's a little bizarre.
But I liked that. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, he was good. Yeah, do it on the court. Just don't do it to the fans. I don't get that.
But yeah, Anthony Edwards is, he's awesome.
Tonight, Orlando-Cleveland. Of course, that's the NBA TV game. Philly-Knicks. Joel was dominant when he was on the floor. Got hurt. But came back. That's a good sign. Jalen Brunson was terrible. Knicks still found a way to win. That's a good sign. Lakers about to fall 0-2 to the Denver Nuggets.
Man, get Tom Thibodeau off my TV. Have a little more self-respect for the TV viewer.
You want plugs or what are you thinking? A hat?
Nothing. You're bald, bro.
Oh, okay. Baldy.
Or throw on a tube.
Bucket hat? Oh, a tube.
Go John Crotty style.
Ted Danson. Crotty catching strays.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's not just the hair. It's the, like, put it together a little bit.
You know what? Honestly.
You're on TV.
Can I give you my hot take, my David Stern hot take? We got to get the coaches back in suits.
Suits. I don't disagree.
Come on. We're not at a high school practice.
No, let's have a little pride.
Some decorum.
A little self-respect. Decorum.
The players don't have
word.
To. And you know what? The players still dress well going into the arena because it's become a style thing. It's become a style aspect. Not everyone does, but enough do. Let's get the coaches back in suits. I know some of them are going to hate it, but we got to stop with the all-black sweatsuit. Come on. Let's bump it up a little bit. Please.
Next.
Number two, the Delta Center announces an NHL welcome party.
Players are going to be there on Wednesday, it sounds like. Hot dogs, 5,000 tickets they're giving away for a preseason game. It's going to be fun. Sounds like it's going to be a big party. I would hope a lot of people turn out, but the interest is clearly there. I don't think Ryan's going to have a hard time selling tickets to the NHL for a couple of years. And Ryan even joked that our first year, it's up to us. And he was talking to the players, and he said, the second year, it's up to you. Talking to the players. Like, we will get the fans there year one. You've got to get them there after that. And he's right. Now, you know, he's got to pay for free agents, and he's got to keep players around. He's got to get good coaching, and they have a good coach now, but... yeah, they've got to deliver a good product, but the first year it's going to be a honeymoon period and everyone's going to be happy.
I want to know what a hockey party's all about. Are they going to have Molson on ice?
Well, they'll have the ice out. I mean, the ice was out the other night, which was cool. Yeah, I'm not sure how heavily they'll lean into that.
I haven't seen a Molson pull tab over at the...
Oh, they'll
the
have to.
Many, I mean...
If people don't know, it's a... What is it? Northwestern / Canadian beer.
I don't know where it's
actually...
That is
quite popular in that area and, of course, Canada.
Right. So you're going to have at least a couple of Molson pulls
now. Part
of
the culture. Yeah. It's a part of the hockey culture. Yeah. It's going to be fun.
At the party, you know... like my dad's from Virginia, right? And so it's funny, whenever he goes back to the South, he kind of leans into the Southern accent thing. Uh-huh. Like he's here in Utah and there's not a hint of it. But, you know, go back there and it's kind of one of those sorts of things. At the party, are we going to have a bunch of like Northern Midwestern accents just randomly falling out of people?
Oh, you know, people Greg Rubel's going to show up and all of a sudden the Canadian's going to come out.
Like people who moved here from Minneapolis like 20 years ago are all of a sudden going to just lean right back
into
it.
I'm all about the hockey.
Yeah.
I'm all about it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I hope so.
Yeah. Get your bags.
All right. What's next?
Number three, the NFL draft is just a couple days away.
Of the many things we haven't talked about a whole lot this spring that we have talked about more in years past, spring football, the NFL draft, we haven't because... local college basketball has been so interesting, and now there's an NHL team coming. This is funny. This has felt like it's really sneaked up on me.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a foregone conclusion that Fingernails is going to the Bears, which also takes some of the steam out of it.
It's Caleb Williams for those in the know.
Well, he painted his fingernails that were disparaging about his
players. Opponent. We have three people on the show that are characters that are known only specifically for body parts. Do you know who they are?
Armpit. Armpit McPhee, fingernails,
and tiny hands.
Oh, yeah. Kenny Pickett.
We have three tiny people hands. That we only talk about based on their physical attributes.
Well, it's all somewhat unique, don't you think? Like Pat McAfee, Armpit used to wear nothing but tank tops on national television. Speaking of decorum.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself one day, like, that's got to be the most famous armpit in the world. Like, okay. No armpit on the planet is getting more attention than that one.
Sure.
Which I still think is true, although he wears T-shirts all
more
the time now.
More shirts now, yeah.
And then tiny hands, you can't go to the combine and get that measurement and get that narrative coming out and not have people remember that.
By the way, he's out, right?
First thing I think, in Pittsburgh he is.
Yeah, he's a backup.
That's
now.
The first thing I think of when I hear that name. It's like, oh, the tiniest little toddler
little
hands.
Little baby hands, yeah.
Little baby hands.
Tiny hands Pickett. And then fingernails.
And now fingernails. Who paints bleep? Insert opponent here on their fingernails before every game. Like, there's a reason that coaches bend over backwards not to give. I mean, the Lou Holtz thing is a thing for a reason, where you talk about your other opponent like they are the 85 Bears. Oh, I don't know how we're going to win.
Yeah.
But Lou, you're playing against Southeastern Ohio. Oh, man, have you seen these guys on film? Holy cow. It's because you don't give the other team anything to.
Nothing.
Nothing. So anyway, he's going to the Bears, which I think is great because that's where quarterbacks go to fail. So if he can truly overcome there, he'll be one of the greats for sure.
I'll be curious what types of trade-up options there are for players and who's trying to move up to get Jaden Daniels.
Well, the rumor is he doesn't want to go to the Commies.
Doesn't want to go to the Commanders. Commanders have the second pick, is that right?
They do, and Ben, they might be a bit of a mess. Have you read into their decision-making apparatus there? They got a lot of cooks in the kitchen.
Well, don't they have the former...
Bob Myers.
Bob
yeah,
Myers, the former right. Warriors GM.
He's the new owner, is kind of Rasputin.
J.J. McCarthy from Michigan doesn't want to go there. He wants to go to the Vikings. He sees that as an opportunity to beat out Jaren Hall and get a starting job. So, yeah, I'll be curious where this all ends up going. No one wants to go play for Washington, though, you're right.
Isn't that amazing that if you're a quarterback and truly where you land matters? I mean, what type of situation you're going to land in really matters. Man, it's I don't know where I'd least rather go, the Commies or the Bears.
So we've got Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy are the four projected first-rounders.
And then the Pac-12 guys after that. That's kind of...
Bo Nix, yeah. Et cetera. Bo Nix might be late first, early second, which is probably a really good spot for him. And if he ends up being the second best player out of this bunch, would anyone be surprised?
Penix is
Penix is awesome.
He's apparently on the climb. People are liking him.
Yeah, someone smart draft him late in the first round with... you're somewhat aging quarterback, and Jordan Love him.
So let's see. CBS has McCarthy going 11th. They have Drake May going 3 to the Patriots, Jaden Daniels 2 to the Commies, and then Caleb Williams 1.
Where did Marvin Williams go?
4.
Marvin Harrison. Marvin Williams is a
former I knew who you were talking about. Marvin Harrison Jr.
Pardon
He's
me.
Going 4 to the Cardinals.
Probably the best player in the draft. Oof, don't go to Cardinals. Come on.
Well, that's fingernail slander right there. How dare you think that he's better than...
Forcing a quarterback with the number one pick? Whoever does that? When has that ever happened?
I don't know. It's unfair for me to root against, I feel like, Caleb Williams, but yet I am, because he's the poster child for so many things that I don't like.
You know what he is? It's kind of funny. He's like the first real Gen Z superstar athlete. Anthony Edwards is probably right there too, but Caleb Williams is even younger and more involved in that, which is the like painting his fingernails pink and people being like, oh, what does that mean?
Are they
like,
even a Gen Z? What's the next one after?
Alpha? I don't think he's alpha. He might be.
Because aren't you Gen Z?
No, I'm millennial.
I'm pretty sure I'm at the bottom end of millennial. You're...
I'm mid-millennial. Late millennial is like 90, 91, right? And I was 86, so...
No, I'm early millennial.
Yeah, you're very early. You're like right on the edge.
Early millennial, right.
That's why you still have some of that stinky Gen X on you.
Okay. Whatever.
But he's a real Gen Z kid, which is... they're just... It's different. Every generation's different.
I don't care about the pink thing.
No, of course
not. If you're not smart enough to know that you shouldn't do that to give the other team ammunition, then I don't know what to tell you.
I'm somewhat rooting for Caleb Williams, and also...
And by the way, my dislike for him comes from following Stinkin from Oklahoma, which I found annoying. He was the NIL flag bearer, which I don't like the policy. I don't. It's not his fault, but I don't like it.
I hate that he wouldn't shake people's hands after games.
Yes.
I hate that he would pout on the bench. I hate that he always had excuses for losses. Like, I hate a lot of those things that lack...
And, of course, hate is always a strong term. We're saying sports hate here, which
I don't hate Caleb Williams.
Have to, yeah,
I hate
you
it
always
in
have
sports.
To explain the difference because people are like, oh, you hate that? It's like, no, no. Hate and sports hate are different things.
Yes. I hate seeing that in sports. You lose, go talk about it. I'm sorry. You're the superstar, especially now with NIL. You are getting millions of dollars. You can go sit at a press conference for 8 minutes and say, I didn't play well enough. Or this is what happened. Or this is what Utah did well. Or whoever. I mean, 5 teams beat them this year. This is what they did to us. This is why we didn't have success. This is what we need to do differently. This is what I saw, et cetera, et cetera. And guess what? It's going to make you better, Caleb. It's going to make you a better person. It's going to make you a better athlete.
Also, if you're going to be consoled by your mother, take it into the tunnel.
Some question marks. And then there are weird things of how often he just kind of seemed to cough up the ball in clutch situations. Just like bringing the ball back to throw it.
Well, yeah, and stepping up
there.
Does
he have some Kenny Pickett hands? I don't know what's going on.
The next year when you were asked about the Utah loss in the championship game, you're like, oh, did you see my leg? It was barely hanging on. Okay. Could barely walk out there.
Okay. So there are some major red flags, which could, if they show up in the NFL, will look even brighter.
Just keep in mind, though, and I say this, I feel like, before every draft, that everybody gets so excited about these quarterbacks and think that they're going to be the next greatest thing. Like, at least half of them are going to be drummed out of the league. There's probably going to be one average and maybe one hit. You know what I mean?
I'm trying to look at the last time we had, like, a universally great quarterback draft.
Everybody says that the draft is going to be what it was, the Dan Marino one, you know, 83 whatever it was. And then everybody's, it's going to be the next one. And then it never is. I remember when Donovan McNabb, Akili Smith, and Cade McNown were all coming out of college. It's the best one since 83. And it's like, oh, well, McNabb was pretty good. Cade was drummed out of the league. Akili Smith.
2020 was a great quarterback draft. Joe Burrow went 1. Justin Herbert, Tua Tagovailoa, there were some really good quarterbacks in that draft. That was a good draft. I'll take that.
Look at the Zach Wilson one. That's the one everybody was like, oh, all these guys are just home runs.
Brutal.
And what's his name? Trevor Lawrence looks like he can be a dude. But everybody else, it's like, I don't know, man.
So, I doubt this is 2020.
Is Zach still a Jet?
Absolutely.
I don't know.
Yeah, they're going to try and trade him before the draft, or they're going to bring him back. They're going to ruin his career.
Oh, man.
They're dead set on ruining his career. Man, 2020, Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love, Jalen Hurts in one draft. That's half the starters in the league right now.
Yeah, that's a great draft. That's a great draft.
Give me one of those. I'll take that.
All right, stay tuned. We'll have more next. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love. The teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
It's our 50th segment, Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology in doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. Ben, also, Win Ticket Wednesday, your chance to win big every week on the KSL Sports Zone. This week, you can win a pair of tickets to go see Aerosmith at Delta Center on November 24th. Listen to the station all day on Wednesday for your chance to win. Ben, you and I both have a couple of experiments in sports that we kind of keeping our eye on to see if they work, right?
Okay.
You and I both are curious about the Magic. Can you have a whole team full of interchangeable
6'7" players?
Yeah, right. Does that work?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm intrigued. Rudy playing with Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards is a really interesting experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And we've kind of obviously been following that one. The other one, though, that we like is that Deion Sanders and his act, will it work coaching college football? Because he's doing a reality show.
Sure.
Is basically the idea. Well, they lost one of their corners, Cormani McClain.
Who, for some reason, with all due respect, considered BYU for a minute.
Did he?
He was the number two, I think, recruit in the country, top cornerback.
Yeah, five-star defensive back.
BYU in his top five at one point, but regardless, neither here nor there.
And his reasoning, he said, quote, "I just don't want to play for clicks," unquote. Because it'd be one thing to be like, oh, I want to go here and I'm going to, because I want to get a ton of attention. It'd be another thing like, oh, this isn't real. This is just about getting a ton of attention.
I have to admit, and you made fun of me for it, and you were right. I enjoyed the hell out of the Deion experience for the first 5 weeks. And then it collapsed. Weren't they 5-0? Something crazy like that?
And
they lost their last seven straight.
And they lost out, yeah.
And then we went back and realized, like, oh, you beat Nebraska?
Yeah, nobody.
Nobody. TCU was terrible this year.
And didn't they give USC, like, a run for their money in there somewhere,
and then
too?
USC's awful.
They played them close,
yeah.
And then they turned out to stink. Yeah, yeah. It was a total...
fool's gold.
Yeah.
Early in the season. I enjoyed the hell out of it. Absolutely no chance it works. Absolutely no chance it's going to work.
I don't think so either.
Now, again, what do we want to define as working? You know who it's working for?
Deion.
Primetime.
Yes, it is.
He is selling sunglasses. Remember, he sold like $2 million in sunglasses in one weekend because he wore them on a Friday, and by Sunday they had sold out. Like, he's great at that. This has been great for Primetime. This is going to be great for Shadur. He's getting a ton of NIL money. He's taking care of his kids.
It's honestly great for Colorado because they've never...
mattered in 20 plus years.
No. Their donors have got to be energized, right? I mean, that was a big thing. Like, they are ponying up all this dough or whatever. So that ultimately, I think, will be good for the program. But as far as Deion and being a football coach, yeah, I don't blame it. And I don't know the inner workings, I suppose. But what I hear is that Deion plays this character and then doesn't really... You know, I think the best coaches would tell you, the very best ones, is they find whatever way they can to identify with their players, to make a connection. Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure Deion's interested in any of that.
He likes connecting, with his sons.
Maybe.
And so many of those.
Putting his sons aside for a moment.
You only have so many of those. That's his best product right now is Shadur, right? I mean, that's his best product right now. And Shiloh was pretty good too. But that is what he does best, is have those kids. And with them, he's brought some attention and brought some recruits with him and hasn't won with them. I had predicted, you remember, it's going to be, 24 months for Deion, because it was going to be boom or bust. He was either so bad that you had to get rid of him.
Or so good
that Florida State hired him. somehow he's done both at the same time.
Well, they might be stuck with him for 6 years.
Yeah, the boom is there
yeah, right.
Because he's so exciting, and the bust is there because there's such a joke on the field and the players are not going to want to be there.
But they might not be able to fire him.
They might have to stick with him. I hadn't considered what if both boom and bust can happen at the exact same time.
Yeah.
And they are doing that.
I know.
Which is, I like being proven wrong.
Well, this one, I mean, it's certainly not going to be a boom.
No, I'm far more on the bust, but how do you fire him? Because they're not going to have the money to pay him out to leave.
No, I don't think they can fire
him. And the donors that like him are going to be too happy to keep him around. The people who want to
go
on a yacht, want to get on the plane, and he's still going to get occasional five-star recruits that they were never going to get otherwise at Colorado. He really has some John Calipari to him. He really has a little bit of that. It's kind of interesting.
Except for that John Calipari wasn't like not only a legend basketball player, but like a pop culture figure.
No, you're right.
Like Deion Sanders, I mean, obviously you remember, Ben, but during his run was
the show.
He was the coolest player in the league.
Yes,
I don't know if he was the most popular. I don't know how you define that. But as far as like cultural icon, coolest player in the league was Deion Sanders. And it's probably not even close. And that charisma, that character that he created way back then is still the character he's playing today. I have no idea if that's the real guy. I would guess not. But does the character itself propel a college football program to greatness? I don't think it's going to work.
No, you're right. But the ability to bring in recruits will give him some job security, even if he doesn't do enough with it.
At some point, though, they're going to have to win. And I'm with you. I don't think he can do it. But how do you fire him? I don't know.
Maybe they can win in the Big 12. I don't believe it, but...
But all these big-time donors, my point is, all these big-time donors want to be close to Deion Sanders.
Yeah, they want to
hang with Deion and the cool guy. And that is a weird concept to me, but it definitely exists.
And it's never going to go away.
No. All right, stay tuned. More Jake and Ben coming up next, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Than us.
No! Your home for the best sports coverage in Utah. You're listening to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
If I look back 30 years from now and we're sitting here going, hey, wait, we were part in the NHL. Was part of this massive movement to reimagine downtown to something that we all can be proud of. And that's what this is about. And so I'll admit that wasn't my first strategy, but I try to be pretty open. And, you know, we have incredible people running this state. And so we're all gonna do it together. It's not gonna be easy, but we do big things and that's what Utah's about. And you can kind of see the vision. And I hope we get to a point where we can roll that out to everyone.
There's Ryan Smith right there. Welcome on back. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hockey is coming to town. They're going to refit Delta Center to make it a great hockey/basketball arena, and everybody is into it. At least that was my experience over the weekend, Ben. I don't know if you went hermit on it and didn't go outside or if you interacted with folks, but like, people didn't even know what line of work I was in, and they'd come up to me and talk about hockey just because I was wearing a hockey hat. It's not even like a Coyotes hat.
We have some connections to, if you don't know her name, Ashley Reinhart, who has maybe, I'm going to say this for her, she doesn't feel this way, I'm sure, but she's maybe the hardest job in the state of Utah. She's in charge of all the scheduling for all the Jazz stuff.
All their travel, everything.
Travel, booking hotels, whatever. Everything you have to do. I have to imagine it's maybe the most thankless job there is on the planet.
And she might be the coolest person on the planet.
She
actually is so rad. Anyway.
So our kids go to school together, and then they're also in a dance thing together. So I ran into her on Saturday morning.
Nice.
And, yeah, that was all we talked about. It was like, you know, well, how does this change everything on your plate? And, I don't think she has to schedule the hockey team, but maybe she does. I don't know how that's all going to work. But, yeah, absolutely. Hockey is in the air. It's around. People want to talk about it. People are excited about it. And that's only going to build. This ticket next year is going to be borderline impossible to get.
Man, even if they dumped all that in Ashley's lap, she's the type of person to be like, all right.
I'll figure it out.
I got it.
Yeah, she'll.
Want to get
she's
on the phone.
Boss. That's a boss. Well, Ryan said, you know, this over 22,000 seats that they have. Was it Chris Barney who handles
yeah.
that stuff? Chris had the update at the presser. But Ryan said, yeah, we're going to have to do some of them are going to have to be obstructed seats. Some of them are going to have to be partial, because you can't sell every seat in the arena to season ticket holders. You need to build. Like, you need to let people experience it so they grow and they get the bug, and that's yeah. the best way to sell hockey is to be there. So, speaking of which, he's on Armpit Show right now.
He is on Armpit Show right now.
But looks like he's in Salt Lake, too, or probably Provo. Is that the BYU campus? I don't know where he lives.
That looks like an office of some sort, Ben. I don't think that's his house.
You don't think he has a parking lot?
No, I'm guessing he doesn't have a parking lot in another commercial building right in the background.
He might be teaching his BYU class. He's a professor at a BYU class. Anyways, you're going to have to find a way to get single-game tickets. You can't do all 22,000 seats. So, there's not 22,000 seats to be sold. There's 14, and he hopes to get that up to 17 pretty quickly.
Well, speaking of having faith in people, if Barney's involved, they'll figure that out.
Look, the Jazz will figure it all out. The Jazz – Ryan Smith.
Three. By the way, I met three specific independent families at soccer that had put down the down payment on the max four seats. Yep. Three independent separate people who were that motivated already.
And some people will back out. Some people will decide. You know, I think it was only $100 to do a deposit.
Yeah, yeah. It won't be that number. But the
people
that
will back out. But still, it's going to be the show. It's going to be the place to be. It's going to be what you're going to see all over your Instagram page. Jake, I know you don't have one. But it's going to be the place to post next year. And people are going to fall in love with the players. I've talked about these players a lot. Young kids who are going to totally rally around Salt Lake City, who don't know Arizona all that well. There's some exceptions, obviously. But these are 21-year-old, 22-year-old kids who are being welcomed to a town where they're going to be the biggest athletes in town next year. Like, the Jazz are still always going to be the Jazz. Lowry is quiet. If these kids have personality and come out and perform well, they're going to take this town by storm. They absolutely will, and they're going to become superstars in the state. They're going to be beloved, and they're going to fall in love with the state itself. And I think that's going to be a big push going forward. It's going to be what Utah is about for the next year. I have no doubt about that. Because, you're like you said, everyone already wants to talk about it. People are excited about it. Your wife and your kids are trying to figure out hockey. I was talking about it with my kids all weekend. They were wanting to know the rules. What was going on? How does it work? What does the goalie do? All of these things that are going to be fun parts to learn. I don't know what the goalie does.
I'm going to watch Mystery Alaska this week. You ever seen that movie?
I haven't.
With Russell Crowe?
No.
You should. Surprisingly good. I mean, not like going to win an Oscar good, but surprisingly good. And the cast is randomly awesome. Burt Reynolds is in it. I know you're a big Burt guy.
Huge Burt guy.
Little Richard makes a cameo. Who's not a Little Richard fan? What is the best hockey movie, though? Everybody goes to what? Strange Brew?
Miracle? No, Slapshot.
Slapshot. Yeah. Strange Brew is also a Canadian movie, but I was aiming for Slapshot.
Underrated? Happy Gilmore? Technically a hockey movie?
No, that's a golf movie.
I mean, there is a hockey scene in it.
Yeah,
at least
right.
One.
But, you know, it's like calling that silly figure skating movie a hockey movie. What am I talking about?
Blades of Glory?
No, not Blades of Glory. The one, the hockey guy who gets hurt and then becomes a figure skater and gets paired with a temperamental figure skater that's like the best in the world. You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
The Cutting Edge?
Cutting Edge. Yeah,
is that
I think
it?
You're right. I think you're right.
Like, that's not a hockey movie.
Yep.
The Mighty Ducks you haven't mentioned?
I said Slapshot. That's the best one.
You don't like Mighty Ducks?
I haven't seen it in a very long time.
Now, listen, the sequels, I think, jumped the shark. But the original Mighty Duck, that's a good movie. Emilio. Man gets a DUI, put him around kids immediately.
How can we fix this guy? It's kind of the opposite of Bad News Bears, where they were like, lean into his drinking. Make that the character.
Make that the thing, yeah. Make him slugging.
Have the kids drink.
As well. That is a great scene, though, at the end of Bad News Bears when they pop open his cooler of beer and start spraying everybody.
Pouring it all over each other.
It's a great message.
Very funny. Don't do that, kids.
Are we missing anything?
Oh, I'm sure there's lots of hockey. I mean, Wayne Gretzky has, like, there's a movie called Waking Up Wally, right? That's about Wayne Gretzky's dad.
Really?
Didn't Wayne Gretzky's dad, I don't know if he had dementia or what. I don't know the whole story, but, like, forgot his son's career? His son's the greatest player of all time?
Oh, man, dementia's a sad road.
Very, yeah.
Yeah, that's... That's rough. That's not something I want to watch a movie about.
Yeah. Something like that.
Why do you like all the most downer movies?
I just know that that's a part of the story.
Sarah, I tell you the story about how my wife and I, right after we had our second baby, we had a chance to have like an afternoon date kind of thing. And all we wanted to do was just stay in and watch a movie and do some popcorn and that sort of thing. And I was like, Ben, you're a movie guy. What should we watch? And you were like, oh, you should watch that fine Adam Sandler vehicle. What was it even called?
Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems. It's like, all right, go home, start watching Uncut Gems, watch that thing. I was like, that was not what I was looking for.
It's
that
an
was,
experience. It's not a kick your feet up.
Well, downer movie I've ever seen in my entire life, and just a bundle full of anxiety to boot.
Walter Gretzky had a...
It was like, that's not what I wanted.
He had a brain aneurysm and lost his short-term memory, so he couldn't remember what his son was doing.
Yikes.
Which is crazy.
Lesson learned. Google it before you take Ben's
Ben loves
word.
Gruesome movies. Actually, Uncut Gems isn't that gruesome, but...
Last scene is. Spoiler alert.
Definitely a downer. Ben's like, you love it! Kevin Garnett's in it!
He's funny.
That is not the highlight of the movie.
No.
That is not the...
No.
That is not it.
Not even a little bit.
That is not it. It'd be like calling that a basketball movie.
Okay.
Like, that's not a basketball movie.
No, it's not. It's not. Kevin Garnett is in it.
Right. Or that Amy Schumer movie, calling that a basketball movie just because LeBron's in it.
What was that called? Heartbreaker or something?
And he was kind of funny in that, too. Not a basketball movie.
No.
Sorry, I got us derailed. Apologies. But yes, I'm going to watch Mystery Alaska this week.
I will be really curious how what our hockey fandom looks like. I know what Jazz fandom looks like.
Oh, I think it's going to be... So here's an interesting conversation, Ben, that I kind of saw develop. Like, what is going to take a bite out of what? And I actually don't think... I wonder, there's going to be a whole new set of fans, meaning one of the families I saw this weekend, or one of the people that came up and talked to me, was basically some bearded hippie who was so excited about hockey coming to town. I don't think that guy knows who the Utah Jazz are.
Sure.
You know what I mean? There's a different, I think there will be overlap between the NHL and the Utah Jazz, because I do think there's overlap between college football and the Jazz, for instance. You know? Like, I think there's less overlap between Major League Soccer and the Jazz than there is against college football and the Jazz, if that makes any sense. Anyway, it's
absolutely
a moving scale. I think the NHL and the NBA will overlap, but not as much as people think, I would guess.
It's going to be a hybrid of Jazz MLS fans. That's what I think. And it's not going to take a bite out of them, but everyone knows their, like, weird soccer friend who knows everything about soccer. And you're like, I didn't know you liked sports. And they're like, oh, yeah, I wake up at 4 a.m. on Sunday morning to watch the EPL. You're like, what? You are going to get those diehard fans. The way MLS has those, like, cult fans that will follow it regardless, know every player on every MLS team and then every English Premier League team, et cetera, that know every hockey player or every soccer player, you're going to get a section of those fans as well that are like, you don't know hockey the way I know hockey. This has been my identity forever. We're going to get a lot of those, but it is so mainstream, and this is going to sound like an insult. It's not. MLS is still a little niche, a little bit. Now, everyone's gone to games.
Little.
It's fun, but it's like a niche thing to the point where you can hide the games on Apple TV, and those people will still be happy because they're happy to pay whatever it costs to get the MLS games. NHL, you're not going to do that. You couldn't do that. But you're going to get those kind of niche fans, too, that are like, no, I've always been a hockey
right.
person.
Well, the NHL kind of tried that and failed, but that's maybe a different discussion because they're back on ESPN.
Yep.
So that whole move was not a good one. How about this, Ben? As you know, talking about demos, I bet you the NHL here in town will have a lot of the transplants, whereas the Jazz are probably more homegrown. Does that make any sense? Like, we get a lot of people moving here from hockey markets who are going to be all on board. I've got a really good friend who's a Buffalo Sabres fan, and I don't think he's going to renounce his fandom. But he's going to jump on board in Salt Lake because he's going to go to the games and his girls are going to go to the games and that's going to kind of be a thing, right? So I think there's a lot of that. Like, oh, I moved here from Minneapolis in 2002 and this is so cool. I was a big North Stars fan and now I'm going to jump on board here. I bet there's a lot of that.
I think you're 100% right. I think it's going to be a slightly or maybe less than slightly, meaning more than slightly, rowdy crowd for hockey than there is basketball.
Now, that depends on pricing.
Okay, that's fair.
I think. Because if you're going to make it a corporate event, then it's not going to have that feel.
That's true.
Let in the blue-collar hockey fan...
Which, by the way, I think is the lifeblood of that league.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It seems sports is going away from that in general. It'll be interesting to see if hockey's going away from it as much as other leagues are. The NBA certainly is. So, I don't know. I think that's depending on where they price it. If it's strictly a corporate event, and you could go that way. If you've had all these season tickets, you know, you could go that direction where you price it whatever you want. But if they leave some of the arena open to your basic hockey fan, you could have that atmosphere more.
I hope they
make it affordable.
Oh, I hope all the people and who is going to take a bite out of, unfortunately, is the Utah Grizzlies.
Oh, yeah. Well, they'll move, I would assume.
Who have been a staple here and have done a great job and have been an awesome organization. And
well,
I know a lot of people have come through it.
And kept that building afloat.
Which
I really like that building.
I agree with you. The Grizzlies have a very proud history here. And I know they've even dropped a league recently in the last 20 years. I get it. It's not perfect. they're going to lose a huge chunk of their audience if they don't move altogether. You're right. And I hope those fans that have been diehard Grizzlies fans, because those people exist, I hope they aren't priced out of following the Utah Hockey Club.
Oh, some of them will be for sure.
Some of them will be. But I hope that that environment of that ruckus crowd follows them and kind of inspires that culture. Because you know what? RSL games are more ruckus than Jazz games. Especially if you're in that south side of the stadium where all the drums are and all the smoke is and all the fans are. That's kind of the loud part. That's fun. And well, I hope we get some of that in hockey.
It's affordable.
Yeah, it's doable. It's doable.
Going to Real games is affordable. And not that the Jazz don't have their affordable, quote-unquote, seating, but it's not. I mean, it's very much a corporate kind of situation over there. I don't blame them. I don't want to come off too negative. I mean, it's just kind of how it is.
It's companies buying season tickets.
Yeah.
And then you take clients or you hand them out to people in your company and they're not going to go.
They're not leaning into the suite because they want Sarah and her husband to go.
Right.
The suites, that is. Yeah. Building more of those and yeah. that sort of thing. Which is unfortunate for your common fan, but probably better for the franchise.
From what I've heard about the arena and the plans that they want to do behind the scoreboards or the hockey goals, they want that to be rowdy areas of fans. They want that to be packed with fans, a certain type of fan that I think is probably not as conducive to the corporate crowd.
Well, that's where the Molson tent needs to be.
Yeah, right. Have the, yeah. The Molson Mile, whatever you want to call it in that corner.
Oh, brilliant. Trademark. Patent pending or whatever you're supposed to say.
So put that on the ads. Yeah.
I don't think we can actually trademark an existing trademark.
We can't steal that.
That probably
but
is.
That's what I imagine we're going to see is a desire to get the rowdier aspect on the behind the baskets.
I saw somebody bringing up what we're going to throw on the ice.
Okay. We have any front runners? Fry sauce? Jello?
I don't know. It gets weird. Like dead squirrels or something?
Dead
like
squirrels?
Rats are a thing in Florida? Is that right? Or somewhere?
I like the octopus.
The octopus, that's in Detroit.
Harder to get octopus here.
Is it?
I don't know. How do you get them in Detroit? Do they have octopus in the Great Lakes?
You want an octopus, I'll get you an octopus.
Get you an octopus. I mean, you could find it.
Absolutely, you could find it.
Yeah, what are we going to throw?
I know the exact market I'd start at.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, we can run over there. The octopus sales in Utah are going to skyrocket.
How about deer legs?
Yeah, I was going to say whatever you don't eat. Whatever you want to pull out of your freezer that you didn't finish from last year's hunt, just throw a
deer innards.
Throw a rib cage onto the ice. Antlers.
That's a lot of blood, though.
Impale
I don't
a
know if they want. I don't know. It's hard to clean off the ice, right? Bad message if you start the third period and there's like blood all over the
Whatever.
Ice.
That yeah. is hockey, though.
Not
blood on the
that.
Ice. No, I, not dead animals.
Not.
Fish? We got a lot of fish. Rainbow trout.
Dead sheep around.
Oh, brine shrimp. Shrimp. We're going to be the shrimp place. The whole arena is going to smell like shrimp all the time.
You know how big brine shrimp are, right?
I don't think that's going to work. Smell like the Great Salt Lake. Well, you got to get lots of them. You got to put them in a water balloon and you got to whip it on there.
I think the message might be lost.
Well, I'm just spitballing here.
Brine shrimp.
I'm spitballing
here.
It's just probably going to be fish.
Well, we don't have to follow suit. Like, we could create something else. I mean, do we have to throw something dead onto the ice?
Do you want something live?
Oh, threw a bear on there.
Bunch of raccoons?
That would just create chaos.
Yeah, it would. Anything live is going to be more difficult than it's worth.
Live tiger. Letting it loose.
How do they do on ice?
Probably less dangerous, I'm guessing.
We've got a problem. The good news and the bad news. Bad news is there's a live tiger on the ice. Good news is they're not all that adept at walking on the ice, so it's kind of funny to watch. No idea how to get them off.
Didn't really think this through.
Someone put a Siberian tiger on there, and he knows exactly what to
man,
do on the ice.
He knows what he's doing. We're in real trouble.
We're in trouble because that guy is all over the place.
Stay tuned. We'll have more. Jake and Ben coming up next, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
What's that?
Whether it's the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies, these guys have got you covered.
Time to eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3, move it.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Get the official debit cards of the Utah Jazz, University of Utah Sports, RSL, and more exclusively at America First Credit Union. Ben, can I ask you, why does everyone, and more specifically NBA players, hate Rudy Gobert? Why? The players' anonymous vote came out with the players, and Rudy, when asked, who's the league's most overrated player? Rudy got 13.6% of the vote.
Which is a lot. Who was number two?
Jordan Poole at 8.6%, where he is probably the answer.
Stinks. Yeah, he Jordan Poole stinks and is also unliked, right? The Warriors didn't like him. We're happy to move on from him. He's become a joke in Washington.
Trae Young at 7.4%, great candidate.
But, like, Rudy, of those guys, like, Rudy actually impacts winning at a really high level. There's proof of it. He wins Defensive Player of the Year. Players even vote for him as the best defensive player pretty regularly because they do these fan votes, or these player votes, excuse me, these kind of polls behind the scene. Everyone knows what Rudy does well. It is funny that he still gets voted as the most overrated. He's going to the Hall of Fame. He's already locked that up.
See, I'm convinced it's because players don't like him.
And that is the thing. So, Rudy is unlikable.
Is it because he gets attention for untraditional things? Like, is there a little jelly in there? Like with Shaq. Now, Shaq criticizing bigs modern day is super jealous because Shaq thought he was the greatest ever and nobody can compare and all this sort of thing. But, like, are players like Rudy, Defensive Player of the Year? He stinks. Why does he get all that attention? Why does he get that huge contract? You know, like, I think there is some of that.
I think there's a lot of weird things with Rudy Gobert. I actually got into it with some Jazz fans over the weekend on Twitter, I probably shouldn't have, about this kind of weird misnomer of the difference between Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, where a lot of people think Donovan was this, like, bad guy, evil guy, or that nobody had Rudy's back. Like, they're trying to separate the two, like, oh, you got to be Team Rudy or Team Donovan, which I think is a myth. Like, you don't have to do that. You can like both of your former players. And it kind of cropped up because I think a lot of people are rooting against Donovan in Cleveland and rooting for Rudy in Minnesota. And I think that's where the angst came from. Here's what I do trust. Even though you and I know Rudy, we've had unique interactions with Rudy, we experienced the entire Rudy thing from very beginning to the end of his time in Utah. Like, we were both covering it from day one in Utah to the last day in Utah. I do trust that all the players in the NBA don't like Rudy for some reason. And I will say this, it's a little crazy to be like, no, they're all wrong and I know better. Right? Am I crazy to say that?
No.
Like, if you go to a work, you get a new job, and everybody is like, this dude, watch out for him. Bad news, you don't like him. And you're like, oh man, we had lunch together. I really enjoyed him. I thought he was a nice guy, but everyone's like, don't trust this guy. Weird guy, don't have to like him. And by the way, that's not what they're saying about Rudy. I'm painting this as a hyperbole. You should trust some of the people when this whole group has a similar opinion about this one person. That doesn't mean don't give the person a chance, but recognize, like, there must be something there that's a reason why everyone doesn't like Rudy Gobert. So I've always kept some of that in my pocket, even though I've never had anything but very good interactions with Rudy Gobert in my life. I've seen his ups and downs. I've seen the bad part of Rudy. I've seen the good part of Rudy. He is very weird. He's a natural outsider. In fact, he had a big story in the Players Tribune about having a black father, a white mom, family that didn't want, his mom's white family did not want Rudy around because he was mixed race and they did not want him coming to Christmas. So his mom left the family so she could take care of Rudy. Like, he's got that aspect of his life, which I think really affected him. He's 7 feet tall, which makes you a natural outsider. He's a kind of a strange person. We know he's a conspiracy theorist. Like, he's got a bunch of things that put him on the outside of the traditional majority that probably make him not fit in. And I think that is all circled in here. But also, I think Rudy grates on people. Like, Rudy is hard to be around for people. I know he was at times in Utah. I know his teammates felt that way, and they still backed him up. And he was still the guy who, after his teammates had his back and defended him, what did he say in press conferences? I want the ball more. I want more shots. I will tell you, I think I've said this on the air before, some of the things I've heard behind the scenes were Rudy's teammates did not like that he did not work harder offensively in the offseason and in practice to get better. There were some real criticisms that Rudy was not as focused on that side of the ball at actually getting better beyond, oh, the Jazz didn't want him to take jump shots. Beyond, like, Rudy actually didn't work that hard at some things the way that you would want him to. I have heard that that was a complaint from people behind the scenes.
Sure. Can I, and I don't disagree with any of that. I think it all plays into it. Can I throw a hot take at you, though, that I've had for a while? I don't think that NBA players really have any idea what goes into winning NBA basketball.
I think there is a part of that.
I think the way that they evaluate talent is misguided. See LeBron James, who is literally making the moves for the Lakers, and he looked at Rusty Westbrook and said, "Oh man, that guy, I've seen Rusty bust it a million times." And he doesn't play winning basketball, certainly not alongside LeBron James. But I don't think the players think that Rudy is very good, because I don't necessarily think they're good at evaluating what very good is. I think a lot of players would tell you that Kyrie Irving is the best basketball player in the league.
If you were to take a poll of the five best players in the NBA, Kyrie would get a much higher share than you would think.
Way higher than fans would
right. And coaches would.
Exactly.
Way higher.
Because players value that one-on-one stuff.
He is so skilled. It is crazy how skilled he is. And I think when you're that close to it, you respect, like, he's your favorite player. And I think some of that bleeds into it versus, you're right, are you actually winning games?
Right. Well, let's take LeBron himself. Who was the player? This was like a month ago. God, who was it who said on a podcast that LeBron doesn't have any wiggle, that he's made a career out of just running people over on his way to the hoop? Who was it, Ben? It wasn't Redick. It was somebody else.
It could have been like—
It was like Matt Barnes or somebody
Barnes
like that.
Could have been Barnes or Steven Jackson. They somebody both have with a, player podcasts.
But a former player said— You know, LeBron isn't the greatest. I think they were talking about LeBron v. Michael Jordan or whatever. And it was like, he doesn't have any wiggle. He just mainlines it to the hoop. And since he's the size of a Durant freight train, it's really effective. You know, like, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But who wins more? Kyrie Irving, who is the most skilled basketball player on the planet. Skilled. Probably win any one-on-one matchup he plays. I mean, just absolutely skilled. Who wins more? LeBron by a mile, because you know what? Unique run the player over and dunk has been working since the dawn of time, and it requires next to no skill. But you know what it does? It wins.
I think Shaq has more skill than he gets credit for.
I do
but
not.
What was he best at?
Running people over and dunking.
Unstoppable.
Yeah.
Unstoppable. 300 pounds, had a spin move that was so fast it was crazy, and could jump out of the gym. He was and so strong. It was unstoppable. He's the best basketball player I have ever seen. He's not the most talented. But Shaq
but dominant,
in his prime was nothing like it. I've still never seen anything like it. He's not as skilled as LeBron. He's not as skilled as Michael. Any of these guys. Might not have been a top 100 skill player in the NBA. Unreal talent. Because you could not stop him. So yes, to that point, I think you're right.
Even evaluating themselves, James Harden doesn't play winning basketball. And now, interestingly enough, he's playing more winning basketball, but he had to wash out of three markets to get that into his skull.
And we'll see. I'm not going to overrate
another
game one.
Like, I don't think Luka Doncic plays winning basketball. I don't think Trae Young plays winning basketball.
Yeah.
But their peers, and maybe not Trae Young because he made this list, their peers will look at them and go, my Lanta, if only I could be that skilled. And it's true. They're super skilled. But I don't think players really have a great concept, and maybe fans don't either. And we all probably read too much into box scores and that sort of thing and value that, including NBA front offices. You know, when Jabari Parker said, you know, they don't pay me to play defense. Yeah. He was right.
Yeah.
Because you get paid on your numbers and all those sorts of things. But that doesn't mean that that's winning basketball. Right?
Absolutely.
So I don't think players look at Rudy and how goofy he is and how lack of skilled he is offensively and say, that guy sucks. But if you watch Rudy game in and game out, it's evident that he does not suck when it comes to winning basketball because he's so good defensively. There's not another player in the league who can one man guard a pick and roll.
Right.
It's hilarious to me.
He is worth two players defensively.
It's hilarious to me to see the NBA notice that. Like, who was it that noticed his mid-range defense the other night? Anyway.
Yeah.
He's always been good at that stuff. He's always been really long and making himself big, and all of a sudden he's both rolling and fighting through the screen at the same time. There's nobody else who could do that.
Yep, Rudy has started 55 playoff games.
But no player ever looks at the way he guards at the pick and roll and goes, well, that guy's awesome. They don't. They don't value that.
Rudy's 31 years old. He started 55 playoff games. Could be more if the Jazz had more success. And look, that's an issue where I think Rudy has taken some criticism as well. Fair or not, we will see how deep the Timberwolves go in this playoff
run.
Well,
he is limited. He is limited offensively. He is limited.
55 playoff games is a ton.
It's a lot.
That's a ton.
Lowry hasn't played one.
Right. I bet you there aren't 15 players in the NBA under 31 years old who have played more playoff games
than
Rudy Gobert.
That's probably true.
Because his teams win. Because Rudy gets you to winning.
He gets you to the playoffs,
for
sure.
He gets you to the playoffs. He can get you there. Now, yeah, what do you do from there is a big question.
Well, what was Minnesota before Rudy got there? Like, 8 seed, didn't they get beat in the first round the year before? And, yeah, it took a year to click. But, man, they were tied for the best record in the league or one game back, right?
Yeah.
And the best record in the West.
Right.
Third best record in the league.
Yeah.
He makes an impact. Now, we'll see, because he is limited. You can scheme him out of a playoff series. That's been his Achilles heel, and that is true.
We'll see if the Suns can do it this year. Yeah, that's always going to be the knock on Rudy.
I don't think the Suns are going to do it.
I don't think the Suns are going to do it. We'll see what happens in the second round.
Right.
Also, yeah, we still, overall, a lot of people just underrate how important it is to be 7 feet tall in the NBA. And it's the thing I always go back to. When you're playing pickup basketball, you're playing with someone who's really tall, stronger than everybody. You make the comparison, you playing with hands. You're probably a better basketball player than Hans Olsen. You're probably more skilled than he is. You are not 6'5", 240 pounds, who can stand under the basket and lift the ball over his head and you can't touch it. So that's a big deal. Nikola Jokic is unbelievably skilled. The best part about Nikola Jokic is that he's 7 feet tall and unbelievably skilled. Not just that he has great skill. It's that he's that tall and has that skill. That's the advantage. Joel Embiid, really skilled. Best advantage is that he's 7 feet tall. Being that big with those assets is what make them so special. And Rudy Gobert is that big.
My celebrity buddy, Igor, he's like 6'6 in all arms. Far from an athlete. But, man, he was like the first pick every pickup game because the dude dominated.
Right.
Because he was so big and long.
Can you rebound and put the ball back up?
You better believe he can.
I like having you on my team. Rudy does that. He's big. He gets baskets. Who else on this list? Do you have the list still in front of you?
Yeah. Give me a second here. So Poole, we mentioned, at 8.6%, the next highest. Then Trae Young, 7.4. Dylan Brooks, 4.9. James Harden, 4.9. Bradley Beal, 3.7. John Collins at 3.7. And Tyrese Halliburton at 3.7. I don't get the Halliburton one.
He had a bad second half of the year after he hurt his hamstring and then was really bad in the playoffs or their game one. But again,
he doesn't guard anybody.
He doesn't guard anyone.
Yeah.
I think the pendulum's starting to swing on John a little bit. John is not a perfect player. He's a square peg in a round hole in a lot of ways. And no one's really figured out how to use him. And a smart coach will get something out of John Collins.
Oh, I think Will Hardy got something out of John Collins. Can I give you a take that is going to sound mean, and I don't really mean it to be, but he was never good enough to be overrated. Like, he's the definition of overrated. Like, he was never that good as he got the rep for a couple of years in Atlanta. Because he got that big contract coming off a kind of big year where Atlanta wasn't that good.
20-10 on a 24-win team.
Right. And so people, I think, that say he's overrated now are picturing that John Collins, which was never that good. The John Collins the Jazz got was a really good player and a benefit to the team. But even the player they got wasn't as good as how he was perceived in Atlanta. Thus, I think people will call him overrated, but I don't think that year was reality.
His contract certainly hurts the image of John Collins. Where if he was making $13 million a year, which is probably what he's worth, the full mid-level exception, people would be like, oh yeah, it's a good player. But he's hard at $25
million. And he wasn't playing the right position. He's Draymond. I mean, you know, I'm not saying he's a Hall of Famer.
Undersized 4 or 5, yeah.
He's an undersized 5 that will guard above his weight and that will either roll to the rim and get an easy dunk because he's a great finisher, or is proficient enough from the three to spread the floor and make others more effective.
Yeah. I think that's very fair.
That's his role.
I think that's very fair.
I don't know if he's good enough that you want to make him like a Draymond, where like this is going to be the lineup we're going to go with. But if you can get 20 minutes a game of that, I think that's pretty good. And I think that's his role.
I agree with you. And I think somebody will figure out a way to win at a high level with John Collins on their rotation.
Right.
Well,
I agree.
I don't know. And I know Trae Young has been to the conference finals as the best player on a Hawks team, ironically, that also featured John Collins. I think that's probably less replicable with Trae Young going forward than it is like John Collins is a good role player on a conference finals team.
And you know what? 2021 was kind of not real. Like the bubble definitely was not real. 2021 was a little...
Oh, we've absolutely learned.
Was a little wonky too.
Jazz finished with the best record in the NBA. Suns make the finals. Bucks win the finals. None of those teams have repeated even remotely close to that same success.
Yeah.
No one's even gotten close to that same success.
Remember, it was a truncated season. It was a fast season. Half the league didn't have fans for like three quarters of the season.
And some of the contenders from the year before were tired because they played until October and then the season started in December.
Right.
There was 65 days off.
It was weird.
It was bizarre.
And Atlanta certainly wasn't that good.
No. No. So, and remember, that, I mean, they ran into the Knicks in the first round, if I remember correctly, before the Knicks were any good. And we'll see if the Knicks are good, you know, but
yeah,
they're more talented now.
Yeah, that's why New York hates Trae Young, right?
Yes. Uh-huh. And then they ran into the quickly disintegrating Philadelphia 76ers because Ben Simmons decided that he hated the paint. He hated layups. They just caught these two funny teams at this really bizarre time in their histories, and they kind of split the gap. They split the middle.
That was never real.
So.
Want to remind
you. Anyways, interesting list.
Join Hans and Scotty from noon to 3 at My Hearing Centers. This is tomorrow, 8941 South, 700 East. Go see those two guys, those two characters.
Talk hockey.
Oh, they'll talk some hockey with you. All right, stay tuned. More next, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
You have sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson. Ben, this year, these types of stories are really in the weeds, but they make a big difference. Andrew Marchand, I think he's New York Post sports media reporter. ESPN and TNT Sports are working hard to retain the rights, speaking of the NBA, while the NBA plans to add at least one more package with Amazon and NBC interested. The exclusive negotiation deadline for ESPN and TNT is midnight tonight. There is progress, but no deal yet.
As an NBC affiliate, rooting for NBC, because I would love to bring back the NBA on NBC.
You just like the theme song, like everybody else.
You're right. That's exactly right. I read this morning that there's reports that they might have playoff games on Amazon. Now, look, that's not as big a deal as some people make it out to be. Like, there's already... Like, tonight's Cavs game is on NBA TV. Not everyone has NBA TV.
There's inventory, you're saying.
There's inventory. Even in the playoffs, there's inventory. Now, they were saying conference finals. I would be stunned if the NBA made that jump. Overlapping playoff games, fine. The third worst game of a three-game playoff slate, fine. Put that on Amazon. I'd be surprised if the league was really willing to go full-out Amazon. But if they want to pay quadruple the price for something, which the NBA is in... a money grab situation right now. They are opening up their doors to potential ownership with some of the same people who are running the Live Tour, which is very controversial. They have said that they would approve some of that, where in the past they wouldn't. They are all in on gambling. And if they're all in on Amazon, they are just trying to make as much money as they can right now for their billionaire owners. And so maybe I shouldn't rule it out because they're doing things they haven't done in the past. But I would hope that's not the case.
Can I tell you, I view it a little differently, or at least I'm concerned for a little different reason. I'm a little concerned that this is a Pac-12 situation where, listen, last time these media rights came up with ESPN and TNT, Ben, there was no negotiation. There was nobody else involved. TNT and ESPN just rubber stamped it and said, we cannot lose this. We'll give
whatever
you want.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the case with the NBA anymore. And so I think the NBA might be acting a little greedily because they're expecting this big-time bump in TV money that the mouse and TNT might be balking at, because that's the only reason to do this is you're carving off new inventory because you're not going to get what you're asking for the exclusivity. Now, the NFL has made it work because they're so valuable they can tell their media partners saying, listen, you'll get what we give you and you'll like it and you'll pay whatever you want for it. And we're going to get other people involved on Thursday because we have the power to do that. I don't think that's the NBA. So I'm a little I would hate to see them overplay their hand, lose TNT and ESPN, and end up on NBC and Amazon exclusively, because I think that that would be a disaster, which is exactly what happened to the Pac-12, where they way overvalued themselves. And then the Mouse and Fox just said, okay. The Mouse said, well, we're not going to give you anything because you're being unreasonable. And Fox said, we'll just take what we want from you and then tell you to get bent. Now, nothing like that's going to happen in the NBA, different scenario, but like, it's not a no-brainer for TNT and ESPN just to give the NBA what they, everything they want anymore. And now it feels to me like the NBA is like, we'll do it. We'll do it. We'll go. We'll go. And it feels like a negotiating tactic to me.
The TNT has never been all the way in on sports of any kind.
Nope.
They have NHL, they have NBA, they have baseball, and Ted Turner was a part of that, obviously. But like, do they stop after the second round? They don't do conference finals, right? The NBA, they don't do. I think ESPN owns all the conference finals games.
I think you're right, and the finals.
I think they only do the first and second rounds, and then they bow out. So they're not like investing at the highest level to get the finals games and the conference finals games. So they've never been fully all in on, hey, we'll pay whatever it costs to get the NBA. And I think the big situation here is really what you're talking about is ESPN is such a nightmare right now. It is such a wreck what is going on over there, that not having them as the big player just loops everybody in. It just makes everybody else a more viable option, because in the past, it was the worldwide leader in sports. No question, ESPN would have done whatever they had to. Disney was happy to pay the money. They just aren't anymore. They just don't have the money. They don't have the stability going forward. They don't know what the future is going to look like. So they are not cutting blank checks, which is probably part of the reason why they got themselves in trouble in the first place, was they were just saying, whatever it takes, we're going to have them. And Disney thought they were going to have endless money and have run into a lot of issues over the last 10 years. So that's the big issue of why we are ever even remotely talking about either NBC getting back into the NBA or Amazon having a bite.
I know Disney has become a strangely political company. Mm-hmm. But Disney as a whole is not doing very well, because – nobody who's trying to transition into streaming is doing very well.
No. Nope.
And there's a new business model that's out there that nobody has figured out. And Disney had the most to lose, and has. Combine that with they haven't had a hit movie in 3 years.
They haven't had a Frozen again, where every year they were having a Frozen for a while,
right.
It felt like.
Yeah.
Printing money.
And they really haven't had that. They've had a CEO that stepped down, and then the new CEO failed miserably, and then the old CEO came back, and now they're looking for another CEO to take over again. I mean, like, as a company, they're in bad shape. Mm-hmm. They're trying desperately to spin off ESPN. If you've seen those rumors that the NFL would buy into ESPN or buy ESPN from Disney, like, I'm just trying to kind of back up your point that the blank check that the NFL got 3 years ago, 4 years ago, that doesn't exist. That's not going to be a thing for the NBA. And I'm worried the NBA is over. They need to have a more realistic idea of what their value is and understand that getting banished to Amazon is not going to be good. I know streaming, we're still trying to figure it out, but I don't think going to Apple is good for Major League Soccer, certainly exclusively. And I know we're trying to figure out streaming, but going exclusively to Amazon, we'll do it. We'll do it. I don't think that's a good thing.
I think right now Amazon is the person you invite to the conversation to scare the rest to pay up.
That's exactly. But what happens when they say, "All right, enjoy"?
Yeah, that's the that's the question. Is what happens when Amazon wins? Now, Amazon.
What did ESPN do to the Pac-12?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Goodbye.
See ya.
Thanks, Klyavkov. Take it easy.
It was that professor at the U.
Let's show them.
We've got a professor at the U that says we're worth three times this amount of money.
Oh. Well, we're not in that business anymore.
All right.
Amazon is making a huge investment. They bought all the Bally broadcasts, or a lot of them. So Amazon is trying to do the sports thing. And maybe they will be the first streamer to fully get it right. Everybody has Amazon Prime, and because everybody has Amazon Prime, they've got the Amazon channel. And maybe that makes it more accessible and easier to do.
But not everybody has Amazon Prime.
But not
Prime.
Everybody
that's
does
the problem.
Still. You're right. And not everyone knows that that's where you can find it.
Right.
Again, the accidental viewer is still a huge thing. So I'm not sure if Amazon's actually going to get a piece of the pie or not. I don't have a problem with it. I've watched Amazon games on – I've watched NFL games on Amazon. It's easy for me, but I don't think it's the ideal situation. The ideal is stay with ESPN, TNT, NBC.
171.8 million Prime members.
Yeah, it's a decent number.
No, it's a lot.
It's a decent number.
But how many of those are watching TV, and then how many of those are watching sports?
Yeah. Also, you can share Prime.
You can share, yeah.
Like, there could be more than just that who have access to Prime.
Who have eyeballs on it.
But I'm telling you, my widow neighbor that uses Amazon Prime to get goods to her front door.
Isn't logging on to her Apple TV.
No, yeah. isn't using Amazon for TV at all.
Yeah. So, no, I'll be curious what happens tonight if they get this deal done.
But that does feel a little bit like Larry Scott, doesn't it? Like, well, we'll get all these bidders involved. They're going to bid it up. We're worth zillions.
It's
like, actually, you weren't.
It's a volatile and ever-changing landscape, certainly.
Stay tuned. Hanson, Scotty G are coming up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow. It's Jake and Ben. We want to remind you about our good friends at Peach Doors and Windows.
Remake your home. Don't move.
Don't move. You've got a great interest rate. Why would you go anywhere?
You love your house. You just don't love the views.
Give them a call today. Free and home estimate, 801-566-1255. It's Peach Doors and Windows. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.